Hey, everybody, welcome to Gridiron Japan. And tonight, well, it's Super Bowl week. So tonight we are not only going to talk Super Bowl, but we're going to talk about another bowl game that's going on here in Japan. And I am with BJ and with John. And John, leading us off, tell our listeners out there what we got going on in Japan this weekend.
Hey, Greg, good to see you. Yeah, this weekend we have the Ocean Bowl, which is the last bowl game of the season in Japan. For those who don't know, the X League is not the only game in town. There are lots of private leagues around the country. Even the X League itself was an amalgamation of different leagues in Kansai and Kanto back in the day, but lots of private leagues also are running under a different system. They're not connected to the X League at all. We talked to Colton Runyon, I think people remember a few months ago. He played for Robux in the UFL, the Urban Football League, which is one of those private leagues. I think a 5 or 6 team league is played only in Tokyo, but there are ones in Hokkaido, Tokai, different parts of the country. But the biggest one by far is the Japan Private Football Federation. That one was formed in 1978, and it's the only one of the private leagues really that has like a national element to it. It's a lot of the smaller leagues are kind of under its umbrella. Okay. They had, I think it was like maybe 20 years ago, they had about 56 teams. The number rises and falls, but now the main parts of it, they run leagues up in Kanto, Tokyo area, and Kansai area as well. The top level of it is probably around X2, you know, maybe third tier X League, maybe X1, the lower level of X1 area, I guess, you know. But it's a little different because unlike the X League, which is just all people who are working or pros, if you are a high school student, you can play in the JPFF. If you're a university student, you can play in the JPFF. If you're a working person, you can play. So they allow anyone from high school age onward. So they have players from age, you know, 17 all the way up to like 55. They have college players. And one of the reasons they do that is because a lot of the places that they have teams, the colleges there don't have football teams.
Okay.
You know, they're smaller places or out of the way places and a lot of people who are in colleges or high schools without a football team, it gives them an opportunity to play. So it's a little bit harder to compare it to the XA because they have a much more mixed kind of player base, but they used to actually have some college teams in their league and then they left and they joined like the current college system. But you get some great team names in the JPFF. Previous teams.
I'm reading some of them right now.
Yeah. Well, ones that aren't even there anymore, like the Ringo Stars were one team, which I loved, you know, the Ringo Stars. There was a team called Checkmate, which is just, that was just actual name. Even now you still have a team called Lazarus, the Aggressors, Quasars, Novice, you know, but.
Yeah, I'm looking at here, I'm from one of your guys' posts at Inside Sports Japan.
Yeah.
And one of the former champions is called the Nagano Bloopers.
Nagano Bloopers. So
yeah.
they're still going. Yeah, they're still going. But they unified the leagues into a single one in 93. And then from 94 onwards, they started. It was like the AFL-NFL merger. You know, they had their version of it. East and West JPFF merged in 93. And from 1994, they have the Ocean Bowl, which is their national championship game. And interestingly enough, the first winners of that were the Okota Raiders, which are a U.S. military team. You know, the U.S. Air Force base, which is out west of Tachikawa there, Yokota base. The Raiders don't play anymore. Like most of the U.S. military teams up on the mainland, they're kind of gone. Seahawks were the last ones left from Yokosuka. But the U.S. military only seems to have teams in Okinawa anymore. But the JPFF, as well as being open to players, they were much more open to who they played. So they played against colleges, they played against US military teams, you know, so there was a lot of that. But this weekend, we are going to have the Ocean Bowl, and the two teams that are in it are Kawasaki Grizzlies, who are a three-time champion in the early part of this millennium, 2003, 2004, 2006. They're back there for the first time since 2010. They went 7-0 this season, including the playoffs, and they are up against a team making its debut appearance in the Ocean Bowl, the Shizuoka Falcons. Shizuoka Falcons were formed in 1975, but it's taken them almost 48 years to make it to the championship game. So they're 5-0 on the season as well. And that game will take place at Kawasaki at Fujitsu Stadium, where a lot of the X-League games take place. And that's on Sunday at 1 p.m. So that will be... There's one more game in Japan in the spring, the Masters Bowl for Senior League. But this is the last game of a season for any league in Japan. So the day before the Super Bowl, if you're on American time. Super Bowl is Monday morning here.
Yeah. And is there any way... I mean, can anybody watch it? Is it going to be on YouTube?
No, they don't. No, it will be actually. I think probably Monday AMA Foot, which is Monday American Football. Like they, it's like a, they have their own social media channels and YouTube channel. I think they might be going to stream it.
He's a YouTuber.
YouTuber. Yeah.
So they've been doing
He does a lot of high school games as well, right?
Yeah,
like a lot of off the beaten path, and he'll go and like he has his own setup.
Yep.
I don't know if you ever met him, John.
I met him. Yeah, he's a former KG guy.
So he, and like I've seen him, and he's probably got a little bit better of a setup, but the very first time I seen him, like he had like he's holding like he has like
a, holding the box, right?
Like a tray, like
yeah, tray, know, like with the laptop
back in the day. Yeah, like a back in the day, like say you like, you know, you eat dinner in bed, right? You used to have the trays and stuff. Like he just has one and it's wrapped around his neck and he has his laptop pointing at him and he has a camera pointing like out away. And
they did your game, Silver Star thing, right?
Yeah, he did the Silver Star. Yeah.
So they tried to bring in that like sideline reporting type of stuff. Like I remember they had it at that game. They did one of the Nojima preseason games as well. So they have like, they cut down to people on the sidelines. Like, I mean, they're getting better, like you said, technically. Yeah. But,
and he was doing that. What was impressive was when he did the, who was it? It was Nojima and was it Silver Star? Or no?
Nojima Sons, was it?
Was it Nojima? Was it the Rise and somebody, right? But
I think it was the Rise and the Sons, Fukuoka, maybe.
Okay, yeah. And he was doing preseason. That with like a laptop and two iPads.
Yeah.
Like he was sideline reporting with an iPad.
Yeah.
Like somebody had an iPad and then there was like an earpiece connected to him upstairs and like he would ask a question. And yeah, it was pretty impressive what he was doing with, you know, little resources.
No, they had, you know what he did? He did that X-League tryout as well, because now taking questions from watchers in the chat, like, because online, I remember I asked him to Junpei Yoshimoto, the Fujitsu receiver who went to Nojima. I was like, I was in the chat on YouTube and I was like, go find Junpei and ask him about his move to Nojima. So like he was actually getting interviews with players that you weren't seeing in mainstream media, which was good. But if you're actually in Tokyo, the game is free. They don't charge into any of their games, you know? So if you're in Kawasaki area on Sunday, you can just pop along and see it at 1 p.m. So, it's football. Football is the last game of the season. So
football, football, man. You gotta enjoy it.
I won't be there because I'll be at the Hakuho Cup, which is the international kids sumo tournament with, Hawaiian kids and Mongolians. I think there's a team from Australia. Maybe there's a big kids international sumo tournament. So I'll be working that on Monday. So on Sunday. So unfortunately, I can't go to the Ocean Bowl this year.
And you said, hopefully it'll be on YouTube. And the guy whose channel it might be on, who was it again?
BJ, I'll have to find that one. What is his YouTube channel?
Like, it's all in Japanese, right? But it's like Getsuyobi.
He doesn't have an English language channel. It's a Japanese language channel.
So here's, he actually has the URL. So if you go to youtube.com/user-HN2CY3DR2V.
Okay. Wait. Yeah. You know what? Blast R2V. Yeah, I see it right here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Getsio Kara Ame Foot. So it's basically American football from Monday. So like a Monday morning quarterback type
got
stuff.
Got it. Well, you know what? I mean, that starts us off. That starts us off well. For us, it's Super Sunday. So, and I've already, you know, with that game, I've already promised the guys at the World of Football podcast out back in Michigan, my buddies there, a report as to the final score. So I'll definitely be trying to pay attention to the game results on Sunday. Unfortunately, I'll be on a train going to visit some relatives on Sunday. So it's not a, I'll be getting back in time to go to bed and getting up early for the Super Bowl. So, and in terms of John, in terms of the teams playing though, any insight as to, you know, how these teams stack up?
It's really hard, Greg, because you never, the level of that league changes dramatically year to year, depending on the, like Kawasaki looked really good all the way through. So Shizuoka, as I said, Shizuoka beat a team called Novice, who are a fairly decent team in Kansai.
Yeah.
So they beat the Kansai champion, which doesn't really happen a lot. So I'd have to favor Grizzlies, Kawasaki Grizzlies. I think they'll get their fourth title, but you never know. You never know. I think it'll be, usually with the games like this, it's the same as like X2. You don't get a lot of high scoring games, you know?
Gotcha.
They don't, the technical level is not there where you're, I mean, you occasionally do, but you don't get, you know, 50, 60 point games on average. You get a lot of, like, well, I think the Harbor this year, I think was like 5-0 or something like that. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you got to think about that though, right? Because if you're saying the way that the team is, teams are made up, you have high school kids, college kids, and full-time working in, you know, men, right?
Yep.
What is practice look like? What time is practice at? You know, that must be, that's a, you know, when you were breaking it down, because I've heard of the JP, you know, FF, and I've never really like knew what it was. I was like, oh, it's a private league, but until you really broke it down, I didn't know it was high school, college, and, you know, Shakaijin, you know, working business.
The guy you talked about, his YouTube channel, he introduces a lot of the teams. He has a really good video on Pachuca Falcons. So he goes out to their training ground. So
I might have to go watch that one. Yeah.
We put up a joke. Like if you saw the Tom Brady retirement video with the sand dunes, that looks like where Pachuca Falcons in practice. So that might be like a riverbank in Pachuca. And I was like, holy shit, that looks just like where Pachuca Falcons are practicing. Like they've got this. So it's like Colton's.
We should have got sand like that person on eBay and try and sell it for $90 million.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. People selling bags of sand, you know. But a lot of these teams, it's like whoever shows up, and it's, you know, you have to clear off the, cut away the grass at times. So like it's real weekend warrior type stuff, you know. Not like the top teams with their own facilities and all the rest of it. So it's a different.
That's pretty impressive to have like that mixture of people. And, you know, I mean, unfortunately I won't, because, you know, the University of Tokyo, we're having a high school clinic, a clinic for high school kids that day, but I would love to, hopefully next year. Cause just to hear that dynamic would be interesting to see how that all works, you know.
Yeah,
it's very interesting to kind of.
Well, and I would imagine in some instances you got maybe fathers playing with sons.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there is actually one of the teams that he did a video. I think there was somebody like that, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can see, even though the level I said is not that different from X2, like when you go to the X2 and X3 teams, you can see a lot of that as well. They're packed with guys who used to play maybe for Obake or Fujitsu or Panasonic and are guys who want to still keep going but don't have the ability, they tend to drop down to a lot of these. Some people retire, but...
And just play for guys, fun, yeah.
They
and
drop
just enjoy
down.
The game.
Yeah.
There's
it goes back to what we always said. It's these guys play for the love of the game. So that is really cool. Just knowing that you've got these... And, you know, back in the States, obviously, and BJ, I don't know what it was like in Hawaii, with semi-pro leagues, but you know, where I grew up in the Midwest, I mean, semi-league pro leagues come and go, and you don't know who's, but you know, just knowing you got something like this in Japan, you know, when I talk football to people who know nothing of Japan, You know, I always try to tell, you know, I was it last year. Yeah, it was last year. Sat down with the Consul General of Japan for Chicago. My wife was leaving. And so we had, it was a one-on-one dinner. And I told him about our podcast. And he didn't know there was football being played in Japan. So, which I'm like, really? But it was, you know, but it's wonder, you know, when people listen to this podcast, they kind of stumble on it. I mean, they like, wait a minute, there's football. So to know that, you know, we've got a championship game going on here in Japan on the same day of Super Bowl Sunday is pretty cool. So hopefully, you know, hopefully it'll be a lot of people showing up for the game, but.
Oh, they won't be.
Yeah.
No, there won't be. I mean, you get the players and families and that.
Right.
And yeah. People like the JPFF is, you know, I mean, they, you have to really look to find even like scores and things like websites. Yeah. A lot of teams are out of date or social media. So, I mean, I have the doggedness to be able to find a lot of the info, but it's you have to hunt it down.
Right.
And I'm using,
I kind of figured not too many people are going to be there, but you know, you know.
I mean, it's the same. It's the same as you'll see at the lower level X League things as well. You know, friends and family and a handful of supporters and ex players.
Right.
And stuff like that. So, you know, it's amateur sport being played at the weekend by and like Japan has so many teams and leagues. So like, you know, and they're all so like BJ said, his team has something on that weekend. It's like every other. So much stuff overlaps. I think we talked a little bit maybe about this. You were talking about it with the Dream Bowl. One of the problems was like there was tournaments happening at the same time, you know. So they don't do the system like they do in the States where you know high school on Friday, college on Saturday, and then on Sunday. So that's an issue. Like you have everyone playing on the same day. So there are more people that could go to a lot of these games, but they're also doing their own football activities at the same time. So there's no kind of coordination between all the various leagues and teams and stuff. So that impacts the attendances, you know?
Right. And with the weather getting, I mean, obviously for us, I mean, it's going to, where you guys are at, it's going to snow and everything probably tomorrow. And
well, this is it, you know, we got to worry about that too, because one of the Ocean Bowl has been canceled in the past because of heavy snow.
Really?
Yeah. 20 years ago, I think that the Ocean Bowl was, it's been canceled, I think once for Corona, I think twice for weather.
And one of those was the Ocean Bowl.
Yeah.
We could turn it from the Ocean Bowl to the Snow Bowl.
The snowball. Yeah.
Nothing better than playing football in snow.
Well, this is it. Yeah. But apparently we're due for a fairly heavy snowfall. So we'll see what it's like.
I'm sharpening my snowboard tonight then.
Fingers crossed.
Down where I'm at, we're just getting plain rain. And, you know, we had that snow, what was it, a couple of weeks ago. And pretty much this whole prefecture, half of it shut down. I'm in the other half. It's like snowstorm. Where? It was like a dusting. But, you know. Being where I'm from, anything more, you know, we get 5 inches. It's, we consider that a dusting at times, just depending upon, you know, depending same upon where you're at.
Same when I was at Colorado. Yeah.
So I grew up in a country where I saw snow once in my entire childhood, I think. And then like, you know, if there was even a threat of it, the schools would close.
So it's funny. Yeah. So Colorado, it took my freshman year, I actually had my first semester of finals were completely canceled.
Really?
Because the whole state got like 4 feet.
Had you ever seen snow before you went to Colorado?
I
had
never seen snow before I went to Colorado.
Of course you hadn't. Not in Hawaii, right?
No.
Yeah. No. The same, like Ireland's just rainy. Ireland's like Seattle type weather all year round. So it's just like, we don't see snow. Snow is very rare.
This was my first winter where I have not seen snow, and I'm loving it, man. I don't have to shovel. And so, which kind of rolls into our next discussion here. When I think of snow, I think the big Super Bowl snowstorm we had, and was it Super Bowl 48? If you guys remember the one they played at New York, but in Chicago, we got the snow before they did. So that was the, you know, when we talk football, and we talk Super Bowls, I always bring up 48. Well, why do you remember it so well? Because I threw my back out 2 days later after shoveling literally tons of snow. So with that said, that segue. Let's talk Super Bowl here. We got Chiefs and Eagles, and you know, John, who you got?
I have no idea. I like I said to you before we came on air, I haven't watched a non-Chicago Bears game in the NFL in I think three
seasons. John is the most devoted Chicago Bear fan ever. Yeah.
I'm not an NFL fan. I'm a Bears fan.
He doesn't even watch the other teams.
No. I will watch Bears scrimmages before I will watch other teams. Swear to God. I care about one team and one team only.
I love it.
Well, I'm going to go for Bears over the Patriots 46-10.
There you go. There you go.
And, that's my prediction. That's my prediction. And that one goes out to Dan Kapfleisch because I have a friend from Chicago, a sumo guy, Dan Kapfleisch, and every single year on Facebook, he puts up his Super Bowl prediction, Bears 46, Patriots 10. So I'm with him. Super Bowl 20, the only one that counted.
And that was, and John, I know you and I have talked before. I mean, that was the year you started following American football.
That was the season. My introduction to football as a kid in Ireland was the 85 Bears. That was my first exposure to the game of football. And so, you know, obviously it was like taking heroin because I'm still addicted 4 decades later, despite the fact that it's ruined my life.
Well, I mean, the Bears at least made it to another Super Bowl after that. It took,
talk about that.
20 years after that? Yeah. Yeah, and... And BJ, who you got, man?
For me, it's hard to you know, and I'm going to make a prediction now. You know, for me, the biggest thing is going to be the O-line play because, right. You know, the Eagles D-line is really, really good. I mean, they got after San Francisco pretty bad. I mean, they knocked out their quarterback, which pretty much sealed the game. But if the Chiefs O-line can hold up against them, you know, then that's going to help Mahomes, who's suffering from a high ankle sprain right now. And then on the flip side, right, the Chiefs have a stud D-line. They have, you know, Chris Jones, who sealed the game for them 2 weeks ago. And then you also have if the O-line for the Eagles can make the run game going, it makes Jalen Hurts' job easier.
All right.
I think I feel like it's not the sexy pick, but it's hard to score against what they're doing right now on both sides of the ball. I think the Eagles are going to win. I think the Eagles are going to be able to just control the line of scrimmage more. I mean, it's hard. It's hard because Pat Mahomes is becoming like the Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to bet against him, but. If he's not even 100%, if he can't move the way he can normally move, then I think that D-line is going to give him a hard time. So that's kind of where I see it. It's not doubting his ability. It's just if he's not mobile the way he normally is, I think that defensive line is going to get to him.
Okay.
And it's going to kind of be like similar to what happened a few years ago with Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if they can get to him, then it's going to be a long day, especially he has receivers who are all hurt.
Yeah.
I think he was down to like fourth, fifth string receivers in the AFC championship game.
Yeah. I mean, and like for me, I mean, a couple things here. The Kansas City Chiefs, when it comes to fan bases, you've got my list of annoying fan bases. I got the Packers at the top. The Cowboys at number two. And I tell you what, those Chiefs fans are really coming up. I mean, they're number three right now. But, and you know what? I hate saying this, but a lot of that has, you know, I don't know. It just with, but the other part of it is I had Mahomes on my fantasy football team. I had AJ Green. I'm like, so it's hard for me to hate. Going back to what you said about Mahomes, if Mahomes is human, is not superhuman, and that high ankle sprain, I think it's gonna be the Eagles' day. But there's another story nobody's talking about, at least in the media, and I listen, you know, I turn on the sports podcast all the time in terms of what everybody's talking about. Nobody's talking about Jalen Hurts.
Well, okay, I think that's good, and I also think it's very, I don't think it's right, because
right,
because Jalen Hurts isn't the guy, because what do you call it? Like I said, it's not the sexy pick, right?
Right.
Jalen Hurts, I mean, not for looks. I mean, that's a good looking brother, but, you know, but like, he's not out there making these highlight, you know, cross the body, no look throw, or, you know, shoveling it, or, you know, but what has he done? He wins. It doesn't,
exactly.
It doesn't, it's not, he's making a highlight reel.
Right.
He wins. He does the right job. And that's been his whole career, though.
Right. And it's his whole backstory. I mean, you talk about his backstory in college, how he got pulled in the national championship game.
Yeah.
And Tua came in, and then everybody was talking about Tua. So it's like, I'm looking at this kid, it's like, nobody's given him, he's not getting the credit I think he deserves.
But he's also been, I think he also, like, the reason why I think for him, he's gone to where he's gone, I think he's been okay with all of that, because it's for him, it's just, it was like a challenge. All right, this isn't, you know, when Tua took the job from him at Alabama, he didn't cry about it. He was a team player. He went to Oklahoma. Or he was a team player. He came in and he helped them get back. And he goes to Oklahoma and gets them to the semis. And like, you know, he has the Eagles here in the Super Bowl. So I think he loves to thrive in that. I mean, he's such a hard worker, and, you know, like, I think he's okay with not being like the, Jalen Hurts. I think that's where he lives. That's where he wants to live. I don't think he wants the praise until he wins the Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's like he's not reading his headlines. He's just going in there and getting it done. So I'm picking the Eagles too. I want the Eagles to win.
Which is, forget about, you know, for me.
Yeah.
I think it's a great, I think it's something this generation can learn from, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, the way I grew up with football and stuff, and, like, you know, social media and the way things are now, a lot of people can get caught up in this, like, well, what about me? What about me? Where Jalen Hurts was like, you know, when somebody doubts him, he's like, all right. And then when he's successful, and it's just kind of like, you know, he's not out there looking at, well, what about me? You don't see him, like, you know, talking, I'm the best quarterback in the NFL right now. Da, 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 da. Like, he just goes out, plays his game, and the respect that he's earned is coming to fruition. I mean, even before, when he was at college, I think, you know, watching him go through all that, like, I became a fan, and, you know, like, just, I love watching him. Like, and I mean, I know, like, I don't know, new things and stuff like that. I really became a fan of his when I saw him going into the weight room and squatting 600 pounds. And I'm like, I would follow that quarterback to the depths of anything. I was like, if my quarterback's going underneath 600 pounds and bringing that thing up like it ain't nothing, I was like, dude, what can we not do?
Yeah.
I was like, that would, like, any quarterback who does that, like, you got my attention, and let's go.
All right. Well, I'm like you. I'm picking Philly. I don't mind, you know, everybody kind of craps on the Philly fan base. Listen, when you win, I love them. I love them. It's like, they got the same attitude as Chicago fans. Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm also going with the Eagles, because a former teammate of mine is actually on the recruiting team.
Okay.
Former teammate of mine from Colorado, Jordan Dizon. So
sweet.
Hopefully he can get a second Super Bowl ring as part of a team staff. So
nice, nice. So fly, Eagles, fly, pretty much. Yep. Well, for the majority of us. So it's for the show, 2-1. Two to nothing with John abstaining.
I was just Googling free agent wide receivers for the Bears. What are you saying? The Super Bowl.
See, this is what I love about John. John is the truest Chicago Bears fan I will ever meet in my life. If anybody ever wants to challenge that, you guys go ahead. The guy says he doesn't watch a football game if it doesn't have the Chicago Bears.
I'm only interested either in the Bears or Japanese football. I have no interest in the NFL as well. NFL history, I do. I'm a bit like Greg, you know. I love the history. I love the early history because it's all Bears stuff, basically. You know.
Oh yeah.
NFL, basically, you know.
It well, you know, and let's talking about history. Let's we wrap it up here. So, let's talk about favorite Super Bowl memories, or better yet, when was the first Super Bowl you saw, or you know, whatever comes to mind that sticks out to you. So I'll kick it to BJ. Go first.
One of my earliest memories was okay. And this is when I think a cowboy hater was born.
Nice.
It was
nice.
It was in the 90s. I think it was the Steelers. I want to say it was the Steelers and the Cowboys. I forget which year specifically.
Super Bowl 30.
Okay. So and I just remember, like, we had it at my auntie's house and just cowboy stuff everywhere. And I was like, this is I had no favorite team yet. Like, I had no favorite team. Like, you know, and I remember I was still a little kid, and it was just, I just remember just feeling like the, and I think, I don't know, I think I might have been feeling it from my dad, because my dad loves to rag on the Cowboys. Because, so to even take a step back, in Hawaii, we don't have a pro football team. But growing up, a majority of the Polynesian population was either 49er fans, Cowboy fans, or Steeler fans. In our family, it was a majority of Cowboy fans. And so there was just, you know, Cowboy props and all this stuff. And I'm, you know, my dad was like mocking them, like, oh, they're going to lose and stuff like that. And just like my auntie being kind of like, you know, over the top with everything Cowboys. And I was just like, this sucks. And I remember I didn't even watch the game, because like, I just didn't want to like be around all the stuff. So like, I went outside and I didn't even watch the Super Bowl. So I forget who even won.
Well, that's okay, because that Super Bowl, talking about a Japan connection there, the day of that Super Bowl, I was on a jumbo jet flying back from Tokyo back to the States after a 3-week army exercise up in Hirosaki with the Japan Ground Self-Defense Force. So,
yeah, so that was my earlier memory. That was like one of my first memories I can remember. And I think, like, seriously, from that day on, I was like, I hate the Cowboys.
Yeah, no, I get it, man. I get it. John, you?
They're a fun fan base to rag on, though, I'll say that.
Oh, well, you guys have seen my memes. You know I love to rag on them.
Oh, yeah.
You know I love. John, how about you? I think I have a good guess as to what your best Super Bowl memory is.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't the Steelers Cowboys one for sure. Even though I saw the Steelers play, I think maybe it was about like a year after the one BJ is talking about. They came to Dublin and they played the Bears in Dublin. That was January 96. So I saw them in July 97. So a year and a half after that BJ game, I saw the Steelers in person. That was the first time I'd seen them live.
Oh, nice.
No, for me, my first and greatest love was, you know, Super Bowl 20, obviously. That's like the greatest team in NFL history, of course. And like, just the more characters probably than any. So like, that was my introduction to football. And that's, but in terms of non-Bears Super Bowls, I mean, the whole string of NFC wins, like where the AFC couldn't get a win to, what was it? How many did they listen? Let me just see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 losses in a row for the AFC. Right.
Yeah. So,
that time, like, the AFC was just like, it was, you know, it was, there were blowouts too, you know?
Oh yeah. 38,
36, 10, 39, 2. Yes, the 49ers thing. But I remember I kept thinking every year the AFC teams would do it. So I remember betting heavily on the Broncos against the Giants and the Redskins and losing both times. I was in high school. And I bet with so many friends. I was so convinced that Elway and the Broncos were going to beat Washington in 88 that I bet with like everyone who would take a bet with me in school. And then I got I got sick
in the
Super Bowl and I didn't show up, and everyone thought I'd like left school, left my school because I owed so much money. They told some of my teachers that I had to run away from the school because I had owed so much money, and it became a big thing then. But the following were the Bengals against the 49ers. That drive, I was convinced the Bengals are going to win that one. That's still my only, like, the non-Bears one. Like, that's one of my fondest memories. I really wished, like, wasn't Anthony Munoz, who was, like, one of the Bengals players got, like, one of the worst injuries I've ever seen, one of their O-line guys.
Oh, yeah, I know. I can't remember his name.
That was a horrible, like, they kept showing it, like, his leg flopping around. But that was the Icky Woods, the Icky Shuffle.
Yeah, the Icky Woods, the Icky Shuffle.
You know, I liked that Shuffle, Bengals team a lot, and I really wanted them to win it. But
it was the John Candy Bowl, too, because the story goes is Joe Montana's in the huddle going, hey, that's look, John Candy's up over there. Right? And sure enough, there he was over there.
Yeah. So most of those, like, late 80s, early 90s, like, right. Because I was still in Ireland at the time, so the Super Bowl basically would start around midnight and finish around 3 or 4 a.m. If you're watching the Super Bowl, you're like the only person up. But the early 90s ones, those Cowboys wins, I was in college, and it was just like drinking with friends and then going out and like throwing a football around or like doing sumo on concrete. We used to pretend to do sumo and stuff, but yeah, I guess more like I like the ones in recent years. I've watched them all. Of course, the Giants one with the helmet catch was something else. But right.
I miss that one. That one happened when I was in Baghdad, and I'm like, no freaking way. Well, I mean, the time obviously with the time challenge and everything, I'm like, I'm like, screw it, I am not gonna. And I'm like, next day we walk in and go in for shift change. I'm like, dude, did you see the game last night? What I'm like, and then that was like crap.
I watched the Eagles won against the Patriots. Yeah, the Eagles won against the Patriots. I watched with an Eagles fan.
Nick Foles.
Yeah, I watched with an Eagles fan in a bar.
Which Eagles won? The one in Jackson? The one they beat against the Patriots. Okay, got it.
With Nick Foles, Philly special. Yeah, which was actually used by the Bears earlier in the season, which kept pissing me off that they were calling it the Philly special, because the Bears used the exact same play. But then again, the Bears stole it from Vanderbilt, I think, who took it from Georgia. I think it was Georgia who came up with that play first. But the first time it was used in the NFL was the Bears used it, but obviously not in the Super Bowl. which kind of makes it a little bit different, you know?
Yeah.
I think, maybe the late 80s, early 90s ones.
Okay.
My age, and because I was like a newish kind of football fan, I was still living in Ireland. It was all like this fantastical world miles away. So I think that was, but my favorite one of all time is the next one that I go to, which is going to be February 2024, when I'm going to be on the field when the Bears win it. So, like, that's going to be that's my favorite one.
Sweet. Where's it going to be at, too?
Not February 24. Sorry, 25. February 25.
Where's it going to be that year?
Isn't that Nevada, right?
Oh, no. Oh, I thought next year's
the
Nevada.
Superdome. It's the Superdome.
Okay.
They're back in the Super Bowl. It's the same place that they won in 1986.
Well, you've been in New Orleans before, right?
Me? No.
You gotta go to New Orleans. And I've not been in New Orleans either in Mardi Gras or for Super Bowl, but just New Orleans in general.
February awesome. February 9th, 2025. Yeah. Let's meet up at the Super Bowl.
There you go.
That's a date.
No, you'll and definitely bring if you do go, you gotta take a pair of pants that's like one size larger. Because I guarantee you, the food is just you're gonna put on a whole nother waist size. It's so good. It's so good. Well,
that's my plan anyway. February 2025, February 9th, New Orleans.
I'm just thinking of the food on the French Quarter. I'm getting fat just thinking about it. So for me, the reason why I asked you guys, because earlier today I was kind of going down memory lane, and I put myself in my 12-year-old self and started rewatching, and I will argue this with anybody who wants to argue, that Super Bowl 13 was the greatest Super Bowl ever.
Is that the Lynn Swan catch?
Well, there was a Lynn Swan. There was just everything. Super Bowl was 10 Cowboys was Steelers, the right? Yeah. It was Cowboys Steelers. Yeah. It was Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach. It was the old Orange Bowl. It was, and again, I was 12 years old. So, you know, you guys can see in the background my Dolphin stuff and my, you know, that's back when I was a big Bob Greasy fan. They're playing at the Orange Bowl and it just had everything. It had
Chuck Noll, Tom Landry.
It was the most exciting Super Bowl up to that time. And I, you know, it just had everything. I'm sitting there today going, oh man, I could just feel myself, oh yeah, I forgot about that. And a lot of people remember that Super Bowl for really one thing. And that was a drop pass in the end zone by Jackie Smith, who, when he was a tight end for the Cardinals, never dropped anything. But it was that moment. I mean, that was what, had he caught that pass, Cowboys would have won the game.
That was his only target of the game as well.
Pardon me?
That was his only target of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just had everything, and just the drama. And that was the end of the Steelers dynasty too. And
the Super Bowl 13 has my favorite Super Bowl logo of all time.
Oh yeah. And do you know, who did the coin toss?
Oh, I just saw it.
George Halas.
Yeah. He pulled up in a 1920. I think it was a 1920 Hupmobile, or it was one of those early cars from the 1920s. And, that's
right. Yeah. She's like, forgotten that now until he asked me. Yeah. George Halas. Yeah.
George Halas. And then the other Super Bowl, great Super Bowl memory for me as being a Cardinals fan, was Super Bowl 43. And again, you know, Cardinals Steelers, the Cardinals had no business being in that Super Bowl, but man, that was even though they lost, I mean, I was disappointed they lost, but as a long-suffering Cub fan too, that gave me hope that someday the Cubs might actually be in the World Series and win it. So just to see the Cardinals get that close and almost win it, I was fine. I mean,
well, outside of the Bears, I would like to see the Cardinals win it because, you know, they're the oldest franchise in the NFL and obviously haven't come from Chicago as well. Oh, so,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's
Chicago Cardinals.
And I've told you this too. And he, you know, back when I was, you know, before retirement, I used to, Southside was my area that I had to supervise people in. And every now, you know, at least once a week, I would drive by the old Comiskey Park and pay homage to those old Chicago Cardinals. And like, it's where the Cardinals, and my partners would be like, yeah, you say that every time we drive by here. That's where the Cardinals used to play. Yes, we know. But those are my memories. And like I said, you know, and that's why we're all fans. That's why we all love football. So, and lastly, before we wrap everything up, any of you guys going to watch the XFL after?
I watch that. I have time.
Yeah.
Well, I've been researching the whole XFL thing, how I can watch it here in Japan, and it is going to be on ESPN Plus. But you're gonna need a VPN, and you know, VPNs can be tricky. So, I'm wishing them, you know, I hope they do well. I wish them success. But we all know what the history of spring leagues is in the United States, and this is the third go around for the XFL. So we'll see. Yeah. Is there anybody? And before I let you guys go, is there anybody from the X League that's gonna be in the XFL this year, or prior X League people that are on any XFL squads?
Not that I know of. I know that a lot of guys had the USFL, which was the spring league. I know there was a lot of links or connections there.
Yeah.
I think there was
the D lineman for the Rise, right? No.
Did he play XFL?
No, I think he went to the USFL, right?
Yeah, I know IBM's guy.
IBM's guy.
Raheem Yates. Yeah, Raheem Yates. Yeah, he played for the Arizona Hotshots after IBM.
Oh, the AAF.
Yeah, yeah. I actually liked that league. I liked they had everything they had in that, and it kind of bad.
But so as far as American players go, because I'm very curious, because the way the rule is, right, is you, you can't play in the X League if you've had a professional contract.
Professional, yeah. But I mean, so, unless you're Japanese, right? Because then they don't care about
somebody. So if somebody, because I've, and I'm not too sure, I've heard of some guys trying, they're going to try to go play in the XFL. If they play in the XFL, then I think that would void their eligibility, right?
Yeah, technically. But then again, you know, they let the Japanese guys go to the CFL and play there, and they don't they don't lose their eligibility. So it's hard to know what they would do. Or, I know the CFL, like, because also you had like Samaji and Birdsong played together in the CFL, but I don't know if they played regular season.
I don't think they did.
Yeah, but I know they were they were at the BC Lions at the same time. Yeah. But.
Well, speaking of the CFL, Well, speaking of the CFL, before we wrap everything up, we've sent shout out and congratulations to the Calgary Stampeders' newest kicker,
Toshiki. Yeah, I think he, from what I've been reading about the Calgary, they have a like with Argonauts, like they have a long-standing kicker and punter that they love. But there's rumors of him going to the NFL.
Okay.
There seems to be a lot of talk about him going down south to the NFL. So if he does, or even if he doesn't, hopefully Toshiki will get a shot. Yeah, but I'd like to see him get a fair shot. I think he's, you know, he hasn't gotten a proper chance since he's been in Canada, which he deserves, you know. So it'd be great to see him finally make the roster, you know.
Yeah, and yeah, it definitely would be to see him get on the field and
The game
get it. Yeah, I mean, see him get on the field for more than one game, and see him for the 18 games that that are played there. So
speaking, well, I was just looking at something yesterday. Here's a question for the two: you remember NFL Europe?
Yeah.
Yes.
How many Japanese players do you think played in NFL Europe? That wasn't 2? Like a. 12. That was actually all NFL teams sending their players, right? So there were very few Europeans on those teams. Well, there weren't few, but 12? You think 12? What do you think, Greg?
I'm going to say 3. I'm just going to go low. I figure it's somewhere in the middle, maybe?
36.
30? Wow.
There were 36 Japanese players.
I was running the heads, the names of the people that I could just like...
Yeah. Yeah, does it, you know some of the big names, but just like I was going through it, and there were a ton of guys that went and played in the NFL Europe from Japan. You know, that kind of that shocked me when I saw it first, and I had to go through all the teams to see. But yeah, there was like every year there was like 7 or 8 guys. NFL Europe used to come and run camps in Japan, scouting combines in Japan. Like NFL Europe came to Japan looking for players. So it was, it's funny when you start reading back through the history of stuff and thing, like, you know, because it's all kind of pre-internet, you know,
good
sites. Like, I use a lot of Internet Archive. Mm-hmm. You can find, like, the old websites, the old versions of the websites for football teams that are gone. They're still, the archive pages are there, so.
Yeah, and a lot of the media, you know, talking about the Internet Archive, I mean, they, like, old media guides. For a lot of teams. I mean, I've got a huge bookmark collection of, say, you know, the Dolphins back, and, you know, for, you know, you literally go down a rabbit hole. Yeah. So like, for instance, even when I was moving, I had to give up a lot of my football book collection. And then I went on there going, hey, I can check this out. It's on here. Okay, cool. It means I can give the book, I can get rid of the book. And so, so I've got, you know, I had like 1,000, I had a lot of books, but man, I've got 1,000 books on the Internet Archive bookmarked.
Nice.
So much good stuff is there. So, well, guys, let's wrap it up here. So it's getting late here in the evening, and we've all got things to do in the morning. So, before I let you guys go, as always, BJ, where can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on my Twitter, BJBD59. You can find me at my Instagram. My football one would be better to reach me. My personal one, I just kind of really only answer to family and friends. But BJ_BD23.
All right. And John?
Yeah, you can find me if you go to your back door, because I'm going to break into your house right now. I'm behind you. That's where I am.
Turn around. That was for Roger Goodell. That was for Roger Goodell. If he doesn't script the, he doesn't make the NFL script for 2025, that the Bears win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm already trying to get hired as a writer. Justin Fields, the first quarterback to throw 11 touchdowns in one game.
It'll sell, Roger.
It'll sell, guaranteed. Biggest market, third biggest market. Yeah. All right.
And, you know, with me, it's at CFL America. And I'm also at the Great NFL Fun Book. If you like, you know, like old 70s stuff from the 70s and 80s and 90s, all that 20th century football stuff that I like to post those memories out there. So, and well, hey, everybody, have fun watching the Super Bowl. And hopefully you can see the Ocean Bowl on YouTube when it posts. For John, BJ, and myself, thank you very much for listening, and we shall be talking to you very, very soon. Bye-bye.
This is George Connor of the Chicago Bears. Bear down, Chicago Bears.